Well, I wanted to ask a question, and that's if any of you have heard of the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Yes, that is a German word. Now, if you've heard of this phenomenon, you've probably studied some psychology or cognitive science. But for the rest of us who have no clue what the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon is, let me explain. This phenomenon is when you learn something new, or you start thinking about something, or you see something. Maybe you read a word, you learn something new. And all of a sudden, that idea, that word, that object, that thing, you start noticing it everywhere. So I just thought I'd give some examples. That's usually the easiest to understand. So one of the first ones I have is, have you ever asked your kid or your spouse to grab you something? They can't find it. You explain to them where it is, exactly where it is. They go looking for it, and they still can't find it. So you get up, frustrated, maybe a little bit upset. You go to where it is. You see it. The salt's right there. How come you can't see the salt? Well, it has to do with this cognitive science. So don't get upset too fast, because it actually is scientifically proven that sometimes this happens to people. Another example that I had was a car. A while back, I was looking at cars. And I was thinking about cars. I was researching cars. And I had a very specific car in mind. And then all of a sudden, as I'm driving to work, as I'm driving home, as I'm going shopping, whatever, this car is everywhere. And it's like, whoa, what happened? This car is like, all of a sudden, the most popular car on the planet. Well, it's not necessarily the case. The cars have always been there. Those types of cars have always been the same. It's just my mind had been filtering it out. So this type of thing can happen with anything. It's where we start to put our focus and our attention on. That's what helps draw this out. You know, our brains are like these giant, powerful computers. And we have in place, without even knowing it, filters. We filter information all day long. Now, our subconscious works without us even knowing it. Now, imagine if you didn't have any filters. You would have information overload. All of a sudden, you would start noticing every single car on the road. You would start noticing every other single little thing that was happening. It would drive you insane. Now, the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon works like it does because it amplifies by the recency effect, which is a cognitive bias that inflates the importance of recent stimuli or observations. Now, this increases the chance of being more aware of the subject when you encounter it in the future. But say 5 months from now, you probably wouldn't be interested in the same things that are interesting you now or you're thinking about now, so your filters change. And it could happen that you stumble across the same subject matter further on down the road, and this time it doesn't have the same resonance with you. It doesn't have the same reaction. You don't see the same things that you were seeing before. So the patterns are there, but you just filter them out. Now, I'm not sure if this has ever happened to any of you. I've noticed it happening to me throughout my life, and I've always been kind of creeped out by it because it's something that's like all of a sudden, you know, these things start popping up at you, and it's like, wow, that's happening. Why is that happening? Why am I seeing all of a sudden these things? Well, here you go. This is the science behind it. And of course, with any thing that we talk about, we tie it into our Christian life, right? So I had to stop and think, okay, well, what would this effect, this phenomenon, have on my Christian life? So I started thinking about it. And I couldn't help but think about those people who come into the church fresh. They're fresh from out of the world. They're so excited and so gung-ho for the truth. They have so much to learn, and they're oftentimes voracious in their consumption of the Bible and all its facets. And this is because they're seeking it. They want the knowledge. They want the understanding. And so they filter other things out. And this is what becomes important to them. Notice Acts 17 and verse 11. This is a well-known scripture. Acts 17 and verse 11. And it says, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so." They searched every day, trying to prove what was true. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, and we'll begin in verse 1. It says, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey." Verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God and the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today, they shall be in your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates." God is very specific when he commands us in the way that we should be thinking about this way of life. The commandments and the spiritual applications of living a Christian life are to be thought about every day, almost every moment, as it is saying here. So now let's jump over to Ephesians 4. Because to be actually doing this takes something. Ephesians 4, and verse starting in verse 17, we'll read to verse 24. Ephesians 4, 17, "And this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you may put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." Renewal. We cannot renew our minds if we are not thinking about this way of life. Thinking about how we can affect outcomes. Thinking about how we can change. Change for the good of ourselves and for the good of others. Now Romans 12 takes this concept a little bit further. Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves or present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this process of renewal takes on a daily approach. Now, we all have our lives to lead. We all have to accomplish things. And it seems like, you know, there's always something to accomplish, something waiting for us to do. And so, I know it's personally, it's hard to find time to study, to think, to pray, to accomplish the things that we need to. But once we start setting our minds, we'll find that it's easier to accomplish the more and more we do. Because we will start to desire it. We will start to see God's hand in our lives more and more. Romans 8 and verse 5 brings this out where it says, For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, when we put it into this perspective, we have to realize that we have no other choice than to renew our minds in the Spirit. Yes, if we don't do this, then we are not living with the Spirit of God. And we will not be led by the Spirit because we choose not to. Let's read also in Romans 8, verses 6 to 11. Romans 8 and verse 6, For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, Paul's point here is paramount for us to understand, to take action on. You know, it doesn't have to be copious amounts of time that we spend in Bible study, prayer, meditation, but it has to be daily. You know, when we take all these things into consideration, the words of the Bible should take on a new light for us, a deeper meaning. In Colossians 3, Paul states that it takes a different state of mind, not thinking with this world's way of thinking, but a change of mind. He states that this change of thinking must be accompanied by actions. He says, If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Seek those things which are above. Or set your mind on those things above, not on those things on the earth. And that is what we have to do, what we must do if we want to be led by Christ. Later, you can read verses 12 to 25 of Colossians 3. But there, Paul points out what will happen when we take the time to make the change. You know, our character will change. Our family lives will change. But we will not be able to accomplish these amazing things that Paul mentions if we don't change our thinking. And so, we have to be in the work of renewing our minds daily. We must be engaged in keeping focused on God so that we can accomplish His will for our lives. and so that we don't throw away everything that we've worked so far in our lives. Let's not forget the parable of the sower. It says some seed fell on good soil, and it produced a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so it doesn't matter where each of us are. Well, that really does matter. But what matters most is that we are making the effort. We're making the effort to change, and that we're moving forward. We can't be stuck in self-pity, wallowing in our own self-misery, which is easy to do. But we have to strengthen ourselves from day to day with the power and the wisdom of God, so that each of us are producing the fruit that was talked about in the parable of the sower. But brethren, it will not happen if we are not renewing our minds.